Hi, world. Welcome to my show. It's Janet Kaliri, your life coach and host at BBS Radio. My show is Sight for Sound Life Coaching. Sight for Sound. When I see things as they truly are, I make sound choices. So that means when I know myself well, I have a lot of information and knowledge about myself available to me to make wise and healthy choices. It is Election Day. Happy Election Day. It is truly an historical day today in America and perhaps the world. And my show is not a political show, but I am going to be speaking about the context of what's been happening, the context within politics like change and choice and compassion and forgiveness and leadership. And please, your voice is important. Just drum up a little bit more courage than you had a few minutes ago and be willing to call into the show today. It's free coaching. Call in and ask me questions or share your thoughts. The numbers are 877-876-5227. From Canada and U.S., 888-815-9756. And the local number, 530-876-3222. 877-876-5227. It's Janet Kaliri, your life coach and host. And you may find out more about me on my brand new website, www.sightforsound.com. So what is new? Well, as you just heard me say, I have a new website. And the wonderful Richard Stanton was my designer and co-creator. Go take a look at it. It has a lot of information about coaching. What is coaching? What is a coach? It's got information about my brand new book coming out in the next week or so. It's got information about my compassion campaign. It's got testimonials. And as you know, one of the uniqueness of my coaching is I take before and after photos of my clients, because what's on the inside shows up on the outside. And once you get to know yourself and fall in love with yourself even more, it shows up on the outside. So go take a look, sightforsound.com. Well, I am excited to talk today about my book and about my compassion campaign. I think that the time is now. It's a call for compassion. Compassion is a human quality of understanding the suffering of others and a strong desire to relieve it. I also think that it's a quality of understanding my own suffering and a strong desire to relieve it. And I think in these fascinating times that compassionate choices are essential, and they're essential now. Like, not in an hour, not when you think that you can afford it, but compassionate choices are essential now. And you, my listeners, can be instrumental in making change in your own life and in your community just by exercising compassion. And when you're compassionate with yourself and others, you create a path to maximize your potential in all areas of your life. And that is my purpose in life, to ignite human potential. And as a coach, I take you through a series of conversations and questioning and have you come to the answers on your own, because you have all the answers inside there. And when you come to the answers on your own, you own it. You own your answers. You own who you are. And there's nothing more beautiful than that, even the stuff you don't like. And I think there's a lot of fear and worry and anxiety going on. But it is part of the human condition. And the opportunity is to feel the fear and the anxiety, look it right in the face, and walk through it. And right now is more important than ever to face your fears. Take risks and reap the rewards. And I promise there are rewards when you walk through your fear and you look it in the face and you embrace it as part of your human condition. So maybe you resonate with questions like, do I feel powerful in blaming others, myself, or conditions around me for the state of my life? Does that sound familiar? Maybe you resonate with the question, do I wake up depressed or uncertain about the direction of my life? And am I filled with regret for decisions I made in the past? I think those three questions are going through a majority of people's minds right now. And that is why I am talking about compassion. And right now what I'm doing is I'm offering a very easy approach and way to work with me as your coach to make some compassionate choices. And you may find out more on my website, sightforsound.com. But it is time to make compassionate choices. And I know a lot of people are worried about money, or they're not spending as much money as they used to. And I think that your potential, your well-being is the most important. And when you get good with yourself, that's when you have more to give to others. Your family, your children, the workplace, your friendships, your community. So I'm offering an initial consultation for $27. That is the truth, $27. And when you work with me in that hour, you're going to learn steps towards exercising compassion for yourself and others with remarkable results. You'll be an integral part of a campaign that positively impacts your life by discovering how to effortlessly nurture yourself and others. And we'll come up with creative tools to push through periods when you may feel stuck because of fear, self-doubt, or hopelessness. And if you decide that you want more of that, wonderful opportunity, I have a sliding scale payment plan that is workable for you. So no more excuses, no more reasons. Make that compassionate choice for yourself. 877-876-5227. I'd love to hear some thoughts or questions on compassion. Well, I'm excited because I just finished writing my first book. And the ebook is going to be published, I think, this week, and the hard copy is going to be ready by the end of this month. And this book, which is called Me With Me. So if you fill in the blanks, Me With Me, if your name's Janet, then you say Janet with Janet. And I got that from Rory Marcoux and Phil Holcomb, my mentors and facilitators of 21st century leadership, that one-week experiential course that has transformed my life and others. And I had a wake-up call then a few years ago, and realized that I wasn't being so good to myself in certain areas, like telling myself the truth, looking at the red flags instead of ignoring them. Does that sound familiar? I'm sure it does. And I decided to write about it. And 2.5 years later, I have my first published book called Me With Me. You can find out more on my website, sightforsound.com/products. So some of the questions I ask, or I did ask myself, that inspired some of this book is, have you ever considered putting yourself first as a selfless act of love? So have you ever considered putting yourself first as a selfless act of love? That's a compassionate choice. The majority of us have been conditioned to put ourselves last. And I'm saying, because I am proof, and my client's proof, that when I decided to get good with myself, Janet with Janet, I had more to contribute to my career, to my loved ones, family, my community. And I think that's probably what most of you would really like. So another question is, have you experienced times of depletion or resentment, but aren't sure why? So when I'm depleted, it is most likely because I'm not giving to myself. I'm not nurturing myself. And I'm running around, and I'm stretching myself, and I'm doing 1,000 things, and I'm burnt out. So burnout is no good. Do you know someone with depression or health ailments and wonder if there's an alternative to swallowing medications? So I bet every one of my listeners answered yes to that question, and I asked myself that question. For many years, when I had depression and, I don't know, all kinds of things like seasonal affect disorder and chronic fatigue syndrome and this label and that label, and I became a victim of the labels. But I always knew deep down inside that there was an alternative to medications, you know, many, many doctor's visits. And I knew that. And there was one day when I went to my orthopedic surgeon because I have a bulging disc, like this disc disease in my upper back, and it just happened. It didn't really happen from incidents. And I was a victim of it for many years. And it's still there, by the way. So I really want to make this point that bulging disc in my upper back is still there, but I never feel it. I don't even think about it. And nothing physically has changed. My mindset has changed. My perception has changed. And that's all done within me. That is not done with medications. So I went to see my orthopedic surgeon, and I had had sleeping problems my whole life, and he gave me a prescription for sleeping pills. And I picked up the pills at the pharmacy in the hospital that I was working at. And I turned around, and as I was walking out that door, there was a trash can. And something came over me, and I just said, to heck with this. I'm running my body. I'm not letting my body run me. And I threw that bottle of pills in the trash can in that very moment. And I never looked back. And that was the moment. That was the moment that I claimed my life. like, I knew it. I knew my body was giving me messages, all the health problems. They were all messages. The majority of us become victims of our health and our ailments and our physical problems. And in that, we just continue to perpetuate and grow the problems because we are victims to it. The body has a way of sending us messages. And I'm happy to say that since that moment, which was, 9, 10 years ago, I haven't taken any medications for 10 years. I healed myself of depression. I don't have any of those other things, those labeled things. And it has all been done through my mindset, through my perception. So you are very capable of making that happen. And don't sit there and go, no, no, you don't understand, Janet. I got this, I got that, I'm this and that, because I was there. I was there. I was miserable for years. Call me and share your story or ask me a question. I'm here to support you on the how, 877-876-5227. I want to read you a couple of testimonials. What I did, back in the spring, I got this idea that if I had people read the first draft, I mean rough cut, rough draft, totally unorganized, unedited draft of my book, if I had some people read the book and have them answer certain questions so that I gain some feedback on the book and particularly around the value of the book, that I could create even a greater book with more value to it. And I thought, well, I'm going to ask different types of audiences to be ghost readers. So I call them ghost readers. I don't even know if that term exists, but it does now because I made it up. And I asked, I asked 8 people, different backgrounds, different genres, different lifestyles, different attitudes, to read this rough cut, unedited version of my book. And I'm so glad I did, because I got amazing feedback. One person I asked is a guy who is a sophomore in college. So I thought having a student, a college student, would be a tremendous way to get some feedback from that age group. And he wrote, after reading a few real-life stories, I became more open-minded to her different outlooks on life. So this is a 19-year-old guy in college. I understand that this book is telling me it's best to do things for myself sometimes and always do my best and seeing what good comes out of whatever life throws my way. I now realize there will be unexpected turns on my journey on Earth, and how I deal with them will shape me into who I am. In all honesty, I've never been one to enjoy reading, but as I started reading Me With Me, I was fascinated to hear people's reactions to certain situations, especially the guy who gets robbed twice and isn't even thinking about revenge, but instead is thinking what he could learn from his experience. For me, knowing how others act towards things that I have not yet experienced is a valuable tool to use for my future unexpected turns. I recommend this book to anyone wanting to make a healthy change. And he's talking about this one story where a guy gets robbed twice, and to give you a little visual of my book, Me With Me, it has three components to it. It has real-life stories, some of my stories, real-life stories from some of my clients, life stories from family and friends. The second component is my teaching, my coaching and my teaching. And then the third component are exercises. So when the sophomore in college was reading the story about my client who gets robbed twice, he was really triggered. He got really upset and didn't understand why this guy wasn't going to get revenge. And so the value there for me is that a 19-year-old in college now has a new perception on what people deem an unfortunate event. And I have a woman in Michigan. She is unemployed. She's an unemployed volunteer. So she's been unemployed for quite some time, but she volunteers her time so that she stays on purpose. So she has a feeling, an experience of contribution. Helps her get up, get out of bed, stay out of her anxiety, and she's making a huge impact on people's lives. And she says, as I worked my way through Me With Me, I sometimes cried and sometimes cheered for the person whose experience was being shared. I readily shook my head and said, yeah, been there. While each person had their own story, I easily related and looked forward to how they made their journey. This is a book that you'll read more than once and each time gain new insights into yourself. So thank you to all of my ghost readers, but those testimonials were from two. I'm going to read you some excerpts from my book, and I've chosen the context of change and forgiveness and embracing our differences. And I've already spoken a little bit about compassion, but we can open that up to another dialogue. 877-876-5227. Okay, I am truly grateful for the freedom of full self-expression. Most of us are hesitant to fully express ourselves for fear of negative consequences, such as the responsibility that comes along with our power or the possibility of being shunned by others. Being unattached to the outcome is something to exercise and believe in if we desire enlightenment. This book is a vehicle to ignite your potential and assist you and remembering who you are and realizing your purpose here on planet Earth. Your own experiences will bring you to this place of falling in love with yourself more deeply. You are as good to others to the degree you are with yourself, with an overflow of passion for giving and loving deeply. In this book, I include personal stories from people just like you, who decided that doing the same thing over and over again only gave the same result. They were ready to make a change, and the results significantly changed the way they now think about themselves and the outcome of their future decisions. The purpose of these stories is to reaffirm that you can be and do anything you choose. So I am as good to others to the degree I am with me. You know, during takeoff in a plane, the flight attendant demonstrates the safety features in case of an emergency. One procedure is regarding the oxygen masks. Do you know why they suggest putting the oxygen mask on you first before assisting others? Does anybody know why they suggest putting the oxygen mask on you first before assisting others? Well, it's precisely the message of my book. How could you possibly be coherent and rational enough to assist another person when you are not breathing enough oxygen yourself? So that is exactly what this book is about. Put your oxygen mask on first before assisting others. This book is a gift of self-awareness, and with that, you may feel stopped or uncomfortable as you come upon the exercises or perhaps strongly disagree with the personal story or teaching. There's no right, wrong, good, bad, only your truth. The fact that you are reading this book says that you are open to loving yourself more deeply. When I see things as they truly are, I make sound choices. Giving to myself, I am giving to others. When I'm giving to myself, I am giving to others. When I nurture myself by making choices of the highest good, it becomes natural without effort. As a result, my productivity increases, and I have more energy, desire, and time to contribute to others. I believe that people want to support others, yet putting others first on a consistent basis results in depression, disease, and physical ailments due to frustration, resentment, fatigue, lack of focus, and imbalance. So notice what happens when you begin to put yourself first without guilt. There's that word, guilt. Guilt is self-absolution. So, my listeners, I say experiment with the next week of putting yourself first. I'm not talking about being selfish. I'm not talking about the ego. I'm not talking about dissing people. I'm talking about your specific processes. The little things you do, your routines. So maybe you're a person who makes coffee in the morning, and it's a ritual. You make the coffee, you put the milk in or not, the sugar or not. Maybe you go sit in a certain spot in your house, maybe outside, and that's your time. And when you allow it to be interrupted and put something or someone else first on a regular basis, you notice that you're irritated. Perhaps you feel unangered in your day. And when you continue to put yourself last over a period of time, you haven't much left over to give to others. Well, that is not the healthiest way to live. Putting yourself first is a compassionate choice. So how about making that change? How about committing for the next week to make that one change, that compassionate choice? Really honor yourself. Maybe you let the people around you know what you're doing so they are there to support you. I know when I started making changes for myself, I'm thinking back to how old I was when I realized that putting myself last didn't work. I grew up Irish, Italian, Catholic in the Boston area. Yeah. So when I just knew. I just said, you know, this is not working. It's not working for me, then there's no way it's working for other people. And I began to make some changes in putting myself first and nurturing myself. You know, an example is making that coffee in the morning. An example is if I've got a timeline, a time-sensitive project, or I'm studying for an exam and somebody wants my help, that's the time when I make a compassionate choice. That's when I say, okay, if I put this other person first, is that, you know, is that the highest choice for me? Is that going to result in me being unanchored and irritated and burnt out? So that's the question to ask. And the answer is either yes or no. Those situations come up all the time. They come up all the time, every single day. So just ask yourself, all right, if I stop what I'm doing and I help this person, am I being a martyr? Am I sabotaging myself? If the answer is yes, then say no to that person or come up with a suggestion of how you might help that person later on in the day or at another time. And I was saying that when I began to make compassionate choices for myself, putting myself first, other people noticed. They noticed my behavior was a little different. And some of them, you know, they didn't freak out, but they're like, what's up? You know, what's going on? And they don't know what to do with it. They get confused. Some people went right into resentment, things like that. So I suggest letting people know. Letting people know that you're going to experiment with putting yourself first. And if it works for you, then, well, I encourage you to continue. And I encourage you to invite other people to make the same change. All right. How many coaches does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but the light bulb must be willing to change. Ha ha ha. So change, you know, I work with people, if they're in a place where they're not willing to change or to look at themselves, then the coaching relationship is not going to work. All right, well, I'm going to be taking a quick break here, and I'm going to play you a song called Just Believe, and it's by Marco Missinato, and I think it's quite appropriate for today, and then I'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about change. So take a break, and here's a song called Just Believe by Marco Missinato.
Just believe. let it be. You can do magic if you just believe.
After I hear that song. Thank you, Marco. And that was Filippo Voltaggio in there singing and some other amazing voices. I love that song. It's a little corny, maybe, for some people, but it's very uplifting. I feel uplifted whenever I hear that song, and I thought it was perfect for today. Perfect, perfect. So we were talking about change. Change, yes. Being ready, being willing to change, that's when change occurs. So here's a piece from my book. Does change have a bad rap? Change is inevitable. Change has a bad rap. Discomfort is always present, but without evolution, we as a universal whole would not exist. The level of discomfort I experience is up to me, depending upon how I am being in the change. I have been clever at avoiding changes in my career, living quarters, automobiles, relationships, spiritual practice, eating habits, attitude, and health. I resisted change because of the discomfort. It was not the change in and of itself. It was the agony, uneasiness, and displeasure I felt that was included with the package. The avoidance caught up with me and manifested in ways I do not care to revisit, but I will. I am. The first step towards change occurred when I looked straight in the mirror and said, "Hello, I'd like something different." I now look at change as an experiment. It's temporary, as is everything on this earth. There is nothing permanent. Everything's impermanent. That is a good thought. Remind yourself, everything's impermanent. Change is going on all the time. Knowing this, I feel a surge of comfort, like a big hug. In my opinion, change no longer has a bad rap. I welcome it like a warm chocolate chip cookie going down my throat. I haven't always welcomed change. I was one of those people who clearly avoided it. I know now it was because I did not have access to the tools or techniques to deal with this basic life skill. Now I have it after capitalizing on infinite teachings. If I desire a different result, I must do or think differently. If I desire to move forward in my life, I must get off the fence and make a decision. I get off the fence first and then make a choice. When I vacillate in indecision, my energy remains stuck, like skidding tires in a snowbank with no forward or backward movement. It is my experience that people are more willing to change their mindset or behavior when they are clear on their intention and realize that a different result is most important now. Here are some steps I use to manifest my desired results. Commit to creating what I say is most important. So there's that word commit. Commitment is freedom. Commitment is freedom because I'm no longer resistant to it. I'm no longer resistant to what I'm not committed to. So when I commit to it, then there's a sense of freedom. Having a willingness to be uncomfortable. Discomfort comes with change. To whatever degree it comes with change, even the most wonderful changes, there is a level of discomfort going on there. Surround myself with supportive and positive people and use a different approach or strategy accordingly. Dream or comfort. Comfort. That was my Boston accent that slipped in there. Dream or comfort. I was tutoring a high school student who feared what others thought of her if she asked questions in class. Excuse me. She unconsciously decided that her comfort was more important than learning algebra. And as a result, she became very confused and her grades declined quickly. I led her through the steps of change with an umbrella focus on the prize, the dream result. We then went through a series of questions. What is most important? Being comfortable, meaning she kept quiet so everyone would like her. That's how she felt comfortable. Or graduating high school for acceptance into college, which is the prize. How does dimming myself to avoid people's judgments serve me well in the long term? What new mindset would produce the best results for me now? While focused on the prize and answering these questions, she changed her attitude about what others think of her. So they didn't change their attitude or what they thought about her. She changed her attitude, her perception of what others think of her. And that looks like her just being unattached to what others think about her. Now, with more confidence in her skills and greatness, she approaches learning with enthusiasm and renewed commitment. And she has a higher grade average. If you have questions or you want to share your thoughts on this historical election day, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. This is Janet Kaleri, your life coach and host on BBS Radio. I think we've witnessed the differences in people lately in the last few months. A difference is an opposing view, a dissimilarity, a dispute, a controversy, distinction. And I say if there are two people exactly alike, how boring. Consider that my differences may be within myself and not exclusively with others. I may have a conflict going on inside of me if my behavior is incongruent with my personal values. As a human being, I have been created to be different from everyone, yet similar with basic human needs like food, water, love, and air. We all have a frame in which we view the world, from family to family, country to country, or religion to religion. When I am unwilling to engage in differences with another person, it is usually a position I take of wanting to be right. So, me and Joe the plumber, no, kidding. Me and Joe have a difference, and a lot of times we're futile and we're going at it, and it's usually because I want to be right, rather than looking at the beauty and the opportunity that we think differently. In council work, a story is told with many seats in the circle. Each individual shares a personal story on one topic. For example, having an object in the middle and describing what she or he sees. In the end, each opinion is different. So, say we have a rock in the middle of the circle. Every person's judgment of it, perception of it, is going to be different. That's a difference. In the end, each opinion is different. The intention of that circle is to reveal that each individual has the privilege to their own opinion, which is not right or wrong, good or bad. It simply is what it is. The gift in differences is to show us that we are either being right about being right or being right about a position that truly supports the intention. If I wait for someone else to be different, I am putting myself in a disempowered position. If I wait for someone else to be different, I am putting myself in a disempowered position. If I'm about proving that I am right, then my intentions are misdirected. To bridge my differences, I fully express my essence, choose to agree to disagree, clarify my intention, don't take personally, honor myself, make a choice for my highest good and the good of others, listen with my ears, eyes, and heart, remember that everyone has a soft side, establish stronger boundaries for myself, use self-compassion, enhance creativity, which releases emotions and minimizes fear. Remember that I have choice. Choose to trust and continue to choose trust again. See the child in each person. Take a big breath. Embrace opportunity and learning by focusing on a goal. Detach emotion and be fully present in the moment. Imagine how boring our world would be if we were all alike and we agreed on everything. So like change, it's really not the change that people don't like, it's the discomfort within the change. In our differences, it's not because somebody's wrong or they're good or they're bad. It's that they're different from us. They're different from me. So when I see the child in that person, when I remind myself maybe that person's story has not been heard, the story might have been told, but perhaps their story hasn't been heard. When I remind myself that we're all different, then it's easy for me to get along with people. It's easy for me to make choices to not spend time with people. And then I'm off of that thing about having to be right. Having to be right Lots of resistance. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about forgiveness. To forgive, pardon, absolve, grant pardon for, cease to resent, remit end of blame, acquit, have mercy, overlook. When I forgive myself, when I forgive another or a situation, I am actually creating freedom within myself. So long as I hold on to resentment and forego forgiveness, I am holding on to exactly that, resentment. I live in the victim role because I have given my power to that person or situation. So, is there somebody in your life that you haven't forgiven? Is there a situation that you haven't forgiven? And if not, you're still holding that role of a victim, and you're giving your power away to that person or the situation. So my guess is that you'd like to create more of a sense of freedom within yourself. And I challenge you for the next week. Experiment the next week. Take the next week and work on forgiving. Maybe you want to forgive yourself. I mean, that's really where it all starts. Why would I hold all of that negative energy inside? Because I think that if I forgive, I am losing my power and will be hurt once again. I say the opposite. When I forgive, I am taking back my power by letting go and surrendering. Now I am closer to feeling harmonious within myself and with others. So a lot of people don't forgive because they think they're giving the power away. But that is not true. That is untrue. And I think a lot of us might want to look at our boundaries, you know, get a hold of our values and morals and strengthen those. Then it's easier to forgive because it's easier to stay in our power. And I'm not talking about the ego power. I'm talking about the self-love power. Knowing my boundaries, my values and limits, and staying true to them is important in the success of forgiveness. Without honoring my boundaries, I am likely to feel hurt again. Once I forgive, I am helping others to forgive and move forward. Simply committing to forgive. Here's a little story that's pretty cool. A friend of mine was training with a teacher whom she thought was snobby and belittling toward her. She knew this was not ideal for the environment and decided to speak with her about this and clear the air. Before she had the chance, she ran into this teacher at a Sunday service who approached her very differently, with love, praise, and no judgment on her face. My friend soon realized that simply committing to forgive and create a harmonious relationship with her worked on its own without ever having to communicate verbally. They are now working on some creative projects in the educational system, and there is no tension or feelings of belittlement anymore. Well, my folks, audience, you've heard a little bit from my book. I thought it was a perfect day to talk about change and forgiveness and compassion for self and others. And I encourage you all to experiment with one or all of those topics. Get into the context of them, and for the next week, make that change. And be willing to be a little uncomfortable, or maybe a lot uncomfortable, but again, it really is about who you're being in that discomfort. Thank you for listening on this historical election day. And again, my name is Janet Cleary. I'm your life coach and host on BBS Radio, Sight for Sound Life Coaching. You can go to Sight for Sound, sightforsound.com. Find out more about me and my services. You can sign up for the Compassion Campaign very, very easy to say yes to the compassion campaign, make that compassionate choice, and spread it around to those you love, those you care about. It's worth it, and you are worth it. Have a beautiful day. Create yourself an amazing day. And till next time, 2 weeks from now, I got some very special guests. You can find out more on bbsradio.com/sight4sound. When I see things as they truly are, I make sound choices. Go out there and make some sound choices. And until next time, thank you. Bye.